And we're back in Fifth Draw Wild. It's the third part of our Supersode month. Well, I guess month plus, because this started in July. Whatever, we're into August now. We're deep into August now. And we're going to be talking about the Monsters and Mysteries of Gravity Falls. Full spoilers. Again, we're doing full spoilers this time. And with me once again are Jake Mason and Scott Mason.
Hello.
Rap.
We're back.
This is also probably going to be a shorter episode.
Yes.
But that's fine, because we're going to give you two bigger ones the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hey, pardon the kimono. We're all recording all of these on the same day, so...
Yeah, so we, the three of us, really don't mind if they're short, because
yeah,
it means...
sorry about it.
It means it's not going to be as much for us to deal with today, and for when I record in the future. So let's talk about some monsters, mysteries, and specifically things that we might not have been able to touch last time due to spoilers. So
okay.
Like back half of season two.
Right. Scoot, how about you start?
What you got? What we got?
So just before we started recording this, you mentioned the shapeshifter from Into the Bunker. And how he like changed into a bunch of different things, and one of them was The Hide Behind, which is a journal monster, but also this YouTube series that they're doing the
Guide
to the Unexplained. It's been done for a minute. And The Hide Behind is this monster that no one's seen, because it just always hides behind whatever. So like we've seen it, but nobody in Gravity Falls has.
Technically, Dipper and Mabel and Wendy and Seuss have seen it because the shapeshifter did turn into it, but they didn't know.
Yes. Right,
that's
yeah.
What they were looking at.
Let's talk about. In fact, I don't. Are any of us going to talk about Into the Bunker next week?
I talked about it last time. So,
yeah.
So let's just dig into Into the Bunker, because that shapeshifter is important a little bit.
A little bit.
Just a smidge.
Weirdly prescient. Like,
can see into the future. Yeah.
Yeah. In a way that is strange for both the show and the in-universe show, like it's weird in a couple of ways.
Yeah, it's so as it turns out, the shapeshifter is Ford's pet that he had to lock up in a cryo tube because it got too powerful.
Yep.
Which tells you a lot about Ford, I think. I think that tells you a lot about Ford.
That he was like, yeah, this thing that can change into whatever, I'm going to keep that as a pet. Also, it is sentient. Like, it's...
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't when he got it, but it became sentient eventually.
Yeah.
At some point, probably before he locked it up, that thing could think. So, not a great look, Ford.
No.
Admittedly.
No, not super cool.
Does it ever say how he found the shapeshifter?
Yeah, we do see that. It was like just a random egg somewhere in the woods of Gravity Falls.
Okay.
And he was like, oh, a weird thing.
Let me take
it as Ford does.
It looks like it looked at his mug of coffee and morphed into it.
Right. That episode is the first episode after Dipper decides that he's going to stop pursuing Wendy. Like, that's like kind of a dead end. He wants to tell her how he feels, but he knows that it's like that is a scary thing
not
to him.
Happen.
So he's like, I'm just going to push that down, and I'm just going to focus on finding the author. So he does end up telling Wendy how he feels.
And she's just like, duh, idiot, I know.
So I can hear you mutter under your breath all the time, but, like, you're 3 years younger than me, and 15 to 12 is a bigger gap than, like, 21 to 24, so, like, you know, that's not going to happen.
Give it a few years, kid.
Yeah, which that will come back in Weirdmageddon that we'll talk about.
Hell yeah.
Later.
Hell yeah.
So the shapeshifter, let me get this right. The shapeshifter has to see the thing in order to become it first, yes?
Yes, and that's why getting its hand on the journal is very bad, because then it will be able to turn into anything, including maybe another Bill.
So the shapeshifter has seen The Hide Behind.
Yes.
Presumably, yeah.
I also want to know how the hell it saw that god-awful nightmare creation of Dipper and Mabel.
Well, it saw
the two giant spike mouths.
It saw Dipper and Mabel and whatever else it wanted to turn into, and it shapeshifted into a combination. I think it just needs to see it to get a if it wants to, a perfect copy, it has to see it. But like, if it has seen it, if it's in the bank, it can, you know, creepy crawlers it together.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a very scary ditto.
Pretty much, yeah.
It does this weird thing also where it apparently forgets Ford.
Well, no.
Well, because it doesn't turn into Ford. It turns into something else.
Well, it turns into the guy on the bean can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The bean baron. Flying baron. It turns into him because it's been a while since it's seen Ford, but it also says like he hasn't been himself in 30 years. So I'm thinking he's gotten glimpses of Stan down in the basement trying to put the portal back together. I don't know if we ever said that's what Stan's doing in the basement the whole time. That's going to be a mystery we're going to talk about on this show, on this episode. Yeah. But he says like he hasn't been himself in 30 years. And I think it's because he's gotten somehow seen glimpses of Stan because there are monitors in the bunker.
Well, fun fact, there is actually a couple of cut ideas for this episode.
Really?
One where they would where Dipper and Wendy would have been running and would have gotten into an elevator and would have like gone up under the mystery shack to the level of the portal. It would have opened and shown just an empty room. And then they would have been like, there's nothing here. Push another button. The doors would close. It would drop. The camera would stay up there and Stan would walk by with coffee.
Oh, that would have been
great. That would
have been something, huh?
Yeah. So he adapts this like outfit with the Bean Baron head and then this outfit that is oddly close to what Ford ends up wearing. Like it's got all the colors of the journal on it.
It's the duster that Ford wears. Like,
yeah.
It kind of ties into like what on earth is this shapeshifter thing that can see the future and maybe other dimensions?
So the future thing that we're talking about is that he gets trapped because the good guys win, you know, and they get him back in this other cryo tube. And right before they switch it on, he says, like, I will show you the face of your death and turns into Dipper. He says something like that. He turns into Dipper and does like a scream as he is frozen. So he's frozen in Dipper form screaming. And then we flash forward a couple episodes to Northwest Mansion Mystery. And Dipper, everyone's getting turned into trees because of the lumberjack curse. And he's turned into like a tree and makes the same exact pose as the shapeshifter did. And so it's like, how did the shifter know?
Here's the weird thing. We get in that episode in the commentaries, one of them points out, this is like, so the shapeshifter nailed this. And I think it was Alex Hirsch said, yeah. And the shapeshifter could not have ever seen that Pacifica would change her ways.
So the shifter
saw the most probable future.
What does that mean? Because we never get an answer to that. Like, so that's so weird. He's just also psychic.
What?
Yeah. Because, listen, it was Pacifica changing her ways because Dipper was just like, hey, you're a garbage human being, but I think I kind of like you a little bit, so yeah, maybe be better.
And then she's also like, I think I kind of like you, but I can never say that.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to be better.
Yeah, it's very good.
So if he can see the most probable future, does that mean the shapeshifter came from the gambling dimension?
Oh.
Maybe.
That would kind of explain why he's not there anymore. Where they're just like, nope, whatever a horrible abomination you made has to go away.
Yeah, if he was just made by chance, that kind of makes sense then, like that he can shift into whatever he sees, like because he can change the probabilities of what he looks like. That's a very vague way to, you know, put it, but like the tracks are there.
So, man, okay, that guy just got a really, really good man. That's terrifying with that. I'm really now disappointed that we never really got more of the shapeshifter. He's just like frozen in a tube somewhere for all eternity now.
Dipper.
I'm a little fine with it because I think I would just be a little too scared.
So let's we talked about another mystery we want to cover. So let's dive into that because I feel like that could just be a good chunk of time. So Stan is not what he seems.
Yes.
Name drop.
Title drop.
Roll credits.
So here's the thing about Gravity Falls that I realized on this recent watch through, because every summer, as I said last year, every summer starting on the 15th, no, yes, the 15th of June, I start watching Gravity Falls again. Normally I try to space it out so that I finish by the 31st of August. I just plowed through it this year, so I'm already done. We're halfway through July. So in the first episode, at the end of the first episode, Stan opens up a vending machine, goes downstairs. We do not see that again until the end of season one.
Yep.
At all.
Right.
It is mentioned the episode before the end of season one, in episode 19, like he's about to, and then Seuss is like, ah, boring, I don't want to look at that, when they're in his dream, or in his mindscape. The next episode, at the very, very end, he goes downstairs, and you see the portal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, we see it in the beginning of season one, because he's like trying to turn the portal on and like figure it out, and like gravity inverts itself for a little bit. And then we don't really see it again a ton until not what he seems.
Yeah.
Like they keep this thing under such wraps. And I remember everybody talking about it online, and I could have sworn it came up more, but it doesn't.
It's the perfect way to do it. Like to do that big long meta thread.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, hey guys, we still remember. We still know it's there. Don't worry. We haven't forgotten it.
Yeah, we also just want to tell you about the Gremloblin and these unicorns and shit. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And eventually, like, the way that they turn the entire show on its head using a episode where gravity gets all screwed up for a while.
Gravity falls.
Is just delightful. Right? Like, that's just perfect. In Not What He Seems, Stan is caught by this shady government agency that may exist only for the purpose of investigating this one mystery.
They're sort of the X-Files, but, like, they know that Gravity Falls is, like, a ley line. So, like, it seems like they've just been waiting for some weird shit to happen in Gravity Falls, so they had an excuse to, like, look into it for real.
They are the weird department.
Yeah.
Yeah. They show up and like everything starts to fall apart for the Pines family. And this is like the first real time that this is where it's not just things around them are falling apart, but where it's like they are falling apart.
Yeah.
Because immediately from the drop, as soon as one of the agents like puts even the tiniest seed of doubt into Dipper's mind, which is an interesting choice, Dipper's just like, nope, Stan's villain. Stan's bad.
And that's where him and Mabel start to disagree, and the Pines twins aren't on the same page.
Yeah, and it almost destroys the world. Because what Stan's been doing is rebuilding the portal using the instructions in the three journals, because he had to split them up so they wouldn't be followed again. He could have just not written them down. That's my favorite conceit about things like this, is like, wouldn't it be better just not write them down, but like, I split them up so no one would be able to find him. Well, unless you have all three journals, like, you know, whatever. So Stan's been doing that. He's also stole nuclear waste to power it. That's how he got caught by the government, and that's like, and it leads you on this rabbit hole of like, Stan has so many fake IDs and it looks like he's faked his death. Like, who is Stanford Pines? Like, is that even our real uncle? Which is wild to do on a kid's show.
And technically true that Stanford is their uncle.
Yeah, and like Stanley faked Stanley's death, but he took over Stanford's life. So it's all there and as legitimate as that kind of thing can be, but the way it's presented is like, is Stan... who is Stan? And then at the end, Mabel and Dipper are disagreeing, and Mabel believes Stan that he's like not a bad person, and hits the button.
Doesn't hit the button to
turn the machine off, and that's what lets Ford get through. And that's when you find out that Ford is the author and his twin brother, and it's really well done. And it kind of leads up to the rest of the season of like. Dipper and Mabel aren't always going to be on the same side. And like, that's as long as they are together on something, that's fine. Even if they don't necessarily completely agree, but like now there's a lot more cracks in the pavement And it's going to get a little sticky, especially when you get to episode 17 of the show.
Dipper and Mabel versus the future. We're going to talk about that next week for sure, because, man, that's some shit. I want to point out something interesting about this episode, though, about Not What He Seems. Mabel's sweaters are a big deal, and they're usually kind of at least tangentially plot related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In this episode, her sweater has a key on it.
And what I love about that is that Mabel is the key to unlocking the mystery that Dipper is trying to fight, because by not pushing the button, she unlocks the mystery of who is the author, right? Like, on the surface, there's that.
She's Dipper's key and she's Stan's key.
Yeah. The other thing is that this whole season, there has been in the background a little key symbol somewhere and a scrambled and like a word after it. And then that word is what you use, is like the code word, the keyword in a Vanir cipher, which needs a keyword in order to decipher things. And then later at the end of the episode, there is a scrambled up message that you need to find this hidden keyword. And so in that episode, all I could think when I was watching it was, is Mabel the key to the end of the password? Is she the password at the end? I didn't even think that, like, oh no, this is like on a meta level, like she is the key to this episode and to this like whole thing right now.
Oh man.
Good stuff. Thanks for tricking me.
there's one of those ciphers in the episode, to my eyes, one of the more largely forgettable episodes, unfortunately, of season two, the Love God.
Love God's kind of
weird one.
Pretty skippable.
Yeah. It's got some interesting bits in it, but it's not really, it just introduces that, hey, there might be deities in this world, and that's troubling, but let's move on.
Right.
The cipher in that one is scattered. Every single letter is in a different place during a running scene. And it's part of like background details.
Yeah. It's on like, is that the one that's on fence posts?
Some of them are on, it's on the stalls as they're running through the fair.
Right. Yes. There's another one where it's like on fence posts, but it's like every other one and they're like different leveled. So you have to de-scramble it by like following it in a certain way. They did a lot of work on this show.
Yeah.
So, continuing with like that whole, jumble words and key phrases, when Fiddleford comes back out of the portal from when his head gets stuck in there, what he says backwards is Yeru Zerksvi Grizmtov, something like that. And I guess the whole translation for that is just Bill Cipher Triangle.
I mean,
okay.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, please don't Babadook my computer with your devil talk.
Sorry, I can't help it.
You got the wiki up?
I got some... I'm on someone's fucking Tumblr, I guess, but like they dug into it.
Yeah, I looked up in the journal. There's a bunch of codes too. That even if you like the Blacklight version also has codes in Blacklight, so like you still need to figure out what. There's an entire alien language spread throughout there. So somebody figured it all out. So I just found it online and read all that because like. I'm not doing that legwork. I'll buy the fancy one and get a black light, but I'm not going to. I'm not
going to think about it.
Yeah. Scoot, any other mysteries that you want to talk about?
I want to go into these Dipper's Guide to the Unexplained.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah,
let's absolutely do that. So one of them is just called The Mailbox.
Oh, this is so good.
I don't think I saw this one. I watched a couple of them a while ago, but I couldn't find them all because they hadn't Disney XD didn't just like upload them all yet.
Yeah. So the mailbox is there's just this one like rust covered, moss covered mailbox sitting in the middle of the woods. And there's like no address, no nothing. It's just a mailbox. And Dipper's like, we want to see, you know, what's going on with it. We want to see what's going to happen. So Seuss comes out and he has like a folded up piece of paper and it just says, sup dog, because that's what Seuss wants to know. Like that's what Seuss wants to ask the mailbox.
Sure.
Puts it in the mailbox and closes it and the whole ground shakes and the flag on the mailbox starts to stand up, and when they open it, it just says, "Hello, Dipper and Seuss."
In like old fancy parchment with like a wax seal on it that you have to break to open
up. The seal, Matt, I don't know if you saw it, has an infinity sign on it.
Oh, that's delightful. I did not notice that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so they keep asking questions, and they're getting closer and closer to asking, like, what's the secret of Gravity Falls and things like that.
Dipper is literally about to write who is the author of the journals. Mabel comes in. And what, mails a box of, like, home videos of...
Yeah, it's like a home video of her doing something very Mabel to their mom.
Yeah. And she throws it in the mailbox and shuts it, and it shakes. And the mailbox is like, this is a waste of my... Like, I'm insulted. This is a waste of my infinite knowledge. The true secrets of humanity will never be revealed, or something like that.
Mankind will not ever reach true enlightenment now. And then the whole thing explodes.
Jesus.
That's insane.
Not just explodes, but like injures the kids and Seuss.
Yeah, like afterwards they are literally in like their clothes are all singed off, like they're singed off, their burn marks, and Mabel just pulls out a ball of gummy worms like nothing happened and starts eating it.
That's a very cool idea.
It's the they got weird with these Dipper and the Unexplained or whatever.
Yeah.
There's one.
Want to talk about Lefty?
Let's talk about Lefty. Oh, God, Lefty. So there's a man in Gravity Falls who no one has ever seen the right side of. It kind of starts as like a joke on like cartoon animation perspective.
Yeah.
Is where that starts. And then they just get weird with it where like he never turns around.
Yeah, if he wants to grab something behind him, he'll like reach backwards. He'll walk back to pick up something.
When he's jogging, he
jogs from one side, and like he jogs backwards on the other side of the track. And at one point, there's like a mall, and he goes backwards up the escalator, but he would have had to walk in front of those people so they would have had to see the left side of him. So
they would not they would have noticed the trick that he is half of a person.
So like that's when you like think like this is just a joke about animation because. They're animators, like it's a cartoon, so like they obviously like animation. So that's when you think like this has to just be a joke about it. Then Dipper finds him. He works at a bowling alley, and he eventually just like grabs him and flips him around. And on the other side, it's like a Meet Dave situation where there's a bunch of people, like little green aliens inside of him,
and he's a robot
because he's a robot. He's only half a robot, which is a bad design choice, I think. But then. They all eat cyanide pills and explode.
And one of them goes, "No, I have a wife and kids."
And you signed the oath.
You signed the oath, and they off themselves and explode. It's horrifying.
It's crazy. Look at his left side, and then it's like, oh, what the fuck? What happened?
And like Dipper and Mabel just start running away from it because the robot starts to explode too. And Dipper's just like, "We're gonna have to burn this tape."
Yeah,
it's guys. I don't know if y'all knew this. This show is on Disney Channel.
It's on Disney XD at this point.
These are on YouTube.
They murder things. This show murders things with suicide.
It's wild.
As we'll find out later in Weirdmageddon. They don't give a shit about saying death and kill and murder.
Yeah, it's but they get buck wild in Weirdmageddon.
It's literally a line: murder those children.
Yeah,
yeah.
Hoo boy. What other? Any other ones? I haven't watched these in a while. Any other ones you guys want to talk about?
Let's see. There's a funny one about Stan's tattoo. So Stan has a tattoo that he got when he was wrestling with Ford where he got burned by like a red hot symbol on the side of a computer.
It's so weird.
It seems like just bad design, Ford, really.
And it also seems like if that is a tattoo that like he got it like the burn covered up or that like the burn turned his skin blue. I don't know which is worse.
I think, well... This is Gravity Falls burning.
Yeah.
We could chalk it up to weird shit.
Yeah.
So I could believe that this burn would turn someone's skin blue.
Yeah, that red hot metal might not have been from our plane of existence. It might have just put something in him.
That's fair. But also, the symbol doesn't actually mean anything. Like, we never find out what the symbol means. It's just like how he got it is that he bumped up against this thing wrestling with Ford.
It's just a tease. It's just like, hey, there's more to Stan than what's going on. Yeah. And we have to pay that off somehow. But
yeah.
So Dipper's trying to figure out what this tattoo is. And like Ford has been denying that he even has one. And y'all need to go watch this one on YouTube because it's just funny is all this one is. It's nothing really deep. It's just funny.
Yeah. And we can't say the joke without ruining the joke. So
none of us can deliver it as well as they do. So
yeah. So just go watch it.
They're all on YouTube.
I found a supercut of all 17 of them. It's only 40 minutes long. Like it's two episodes of Gravity Falls. It's
a different Guide to the Unexplained and Mabel's Guide to Fun, right? Is that both or is that just the Dipper's Guide?
It's his complete shorts compilation, it's
both of them probably then.
Yeah, this is Mabel's too.
Mabel's Guide to Fun is also really it's goofy. It's just the not weird side of Gravity Falls, but you know, it's Mabel doing the same thing that Dipper's doing. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And there's also like a couple with Seuss where he's trying to do like a Tim the Toolman Taylor kind of send up where he fixes things but makes them better.
Right.
And it's they go out of their way in that one to do very bad editing on it to make it look like someone very inexperienced used a cheap editing program and some bad green screen.
Oh, nice.
Like they have awesome. Seuss doing the Three Wolf Moon pose at one point and it's just bad. But yeah, these shorts are great. I'm trying to think if there's any others. There's the hide behind that the hide behind does a weird thing where so some shows will do this thing where there's a creature in the show that reacts whenever you see it. It does something. I think my favorite example of this is in Doctor Who. There's a monster called the Weeping Angels. And there's a whole episode there's a whole episode where they introduce them. And what they are is they're alien creatures from the dawn of time who are bullshit sci-fi phrase quantum locked.
And they feed off potential.
Yeah, where if a human being looks at them, they freeze in place at a quantum level and become a stone statue of an angel. Which is terrifying, especially what the end of the episode does. Anyways, what that episode of Doctor Who does is you, the audience, the actual literal audience, is present in the show. And if we see the angels, just as the camera,
they
freeze.
Yeah.
Gravity Falls doesn't do that for this short. We get to see the hide behind.
Like hiding behind things. But doesn't that tape get... Doesn't he not get to watch the tape? Because I think or something like that at the end. It's been
it gets ruined somehow. Yeah. Dipper doesn't see it.
Like we see it, but Dipper doesn't. So because he set it up. But it's like it's this like skinny Groot looking dude. And he just is... He can like twist and contort to fit behind anything. So no one's ever seen him except Ford has like knows about him. So he like... jotted it down but doesn't have like a perfect image of it. It's pretty good. Also real quick about the Weeping Angels, that first episode Blink, very good. Every other time the Weeping Angels show up, the absolute dog shit worst.
Yeah, garbage from a trash can. Absolutely. They Moffat did it really well once and then forgot how to do it.
Yeah, he did it really well once when someone went, this is how you should do it, don't do these other things. And then when he was in charge, he goes, I'm gonna do the other things, which is Moffat's problem, is that he's bad at running a show.
He's a very good writer, but this is also not a Doctor Who podcast. If you want one of those,
I will leave.
Run by Travis McElroy and Tybee Diskin.
I haven't listened to it because I don't like Doctor Who anymore. But that's if I'm going to recommend one, it's going to be from them.
The newest season was fine. Peter Capaldi did a good job. Anyway,
I had one and then I forgot it. It might have been what Stan was doing. I think so. We did talk about that. I thought I might have said one, and someone is at home probably screaming. Like, Jake, you idiot. It was 20 minutes ago, you stupid idiot. But I don't know.
Do we want to just do a run through of what our favorite monsters are that we've seen?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, you start, Scoot.
It's in Weirdmageddon.
Okay.
So tread lightly, because we're gonna try to keep that one as contained as we can.
Yeah. What's her name? Veronica, I think her name is.
Yeah.
Just this like sexy demon bat woman with also with one eye and like fire for horns. And they're playing Spin the Human.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah, it's like, oh, so it's Spin the Bottle. Cool, whatever. They're playing Spin the Human, and it lands on Hectorgon, which is another demon. And instead of kissing him, she eats him. She eats him whole.
Yeah.
This is very good. Jake, what you got?
My favorite monster. We talked about the shapeshifter a lot, and that might be my favorite. I'm trying to think of... I don't know if we talked about this last time. I do like the joke. I don't like the episode Boss Mabel. I think it's one of the biggest clunkers of the series. But the joke that the Gremloblin, like when you see it, you look at its eyes, you see its greatest, your greatest fear, and its greatest fear is that it becomes its father, which yeah, is like yeah. such a weird, like adult joke to make. I think is really great. I'm trying to think of stuff from the second season.
Well, you think, because I have one that I want to talk about.
Okay, what's yours?
Mine is the Summerween prankster, trickster?
Trickster.
Okay, yeah.
Summerween trickster. And I didn't – this used to be kind of low down on my list of favorite episodes. Because, listen, I'll watch all of them again. I'll go do it today. No, I won't. I'm going to be burned out on Gravity Falls today.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Gravity Falls content coming in.
But – In the Summerween episode, I used to not like it, and then I listened to the commentaries about it and listened to them talk about their creature designer who designed this. And like, it's a phrase Alex Hirsch said when they're talking about the final design of this thing and how it like kind of borrowed from an anime a little bit, and how it's just this
specifically
like,
No Face from Spirited Away.
That's the one. And how it's just like this super malleable thing, and the big twist of it being made of candy at the end, and just how good that all works. And he was talking about the creature designer, and this is what he said. He's just like, I don't know his whole story, but to design things the way he does, you have to have seen some stuff. And I'm just like, that's horrifying.
Well, I mean, you gotta think, like, the Invisible Wizard, and how the Invisible Wizard is just this amalgamation of horror underneath it, if you can see it.
Yeah.
It's like, shaped like a wizard's outline with the pointy hat and all that, but, like, its face is on its stomach, and it's just gross. It's so gross that the fairies can't stop throwing up when they look at it.
The journal does some really fun stuff. I especially like the platypus, which is a platypus, but plaid.
It's a platypus. Yeah, it's very good. I think from mine, I just looked through these real quick, and I do want to talk a little bit about the unicorns for a second.
Yes.
That episode is like pretty all right. It's the second to last episode before Weirdmageddon, and it sets up like a huge component of Weirdmageddon. But it's mainly Mabel and Grenda and Candy and Wendy, so they don't get lost or killed in the woods, goes with them. And they need to find a unicorn to get a hair. And the unicorn's like, you're not pure of heart, to Mabel, who is very pure of heart. And so she goes into this like spiral, and you find out that like the unicorns are just liars. Like the only thing they can do is talk to you telepathically and make their horn play rave music and like point at things. Like that's it. And it's just like, I love how it's not like a jab at My Little Pony. But her name is Celeste Bella Bethabel, so like it's a little bit of jab at My Little Pony.
Oh, it's better than that, Jake.
Is it?
So the design is 100% like riffing off of that Lisa Frank aesthetic.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I thought when I saw it. It's super duper Lisa Frank.
It's that. But the whole concept of this came from a movie called The Last Unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That is a garbage animated movie.
Oh, and you're making some people mad. Right now.
I mean, Alex Hirsch loves this movie, and he called it a garbage movie I have never seen it. I can't speak to it. Apparently, it's trash, but maybe if you love it, you do you, man. But apparently, who's the voice actress? Jane Fonda? Is that it?
I think so.
And apparently,
it's
the way
she... It's been 100 years since I've seen that movie.
Apparently, the way she plays it is that it's just this, like, stuck-up, snobby trash monster.
Okay.
It's how she plays the last unicorn. And that's exactly what he aped. He was just like, make this a garbage person. Do that.
It's very good. They end up fighting each other. like the it's the three unicorns versus the four girls.
And Windy leads that charge, just like
It's great that things. that whole like her yelling about how like we're not like delicate flowers, we're angry sweaty women. Like it's really good. They show back up and they have like a bunch of hair like that they ripped off and they're covered in unicorn blood, which is glittery. It's very good.
I love that episode. It's a lot better now, especially with the whole thing that Grinda and pulls where they find a gnome in the bad side of the woods.
Oh, they do a sting operation on the gnome. Yeah.
Except the gnome cop that they get is also dirty because they have to give him some of the fairy dust.
It's very good. I would talk about the golf balls, but that's going to be in my faves. So, we'll talk about that in a next episode.
Anything else we need to cover?
I don't think so. I think we're good. Oh yeah. Real quick. There's a spaceship in Gravity Falls.
Whoa, wait, oh, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's a whole UFO.
There's a whole entire spaceship in Gravity Falls. And so the whole time, like, you see, you know, Gravity Falls from the beginning. The under the bridge, the train bridge, there's, like, this, like, you know, I don't know what to call it, a ridge, a cliff, and there's, like, a train track between it. But, like, there's the imprint, it looks like there's a UFO cutout of it. And you think, like, it's Gravity Falls. It's weird looking, so that's funny. And there's never been any aliens on the show, so you think that, like, it's just one of the weird things that it looks like it. But then in the episode Dipper and Mabel versus the Future, Ford's like, oh, no, there's a spaceship. Like, it's right here. Like, this whole Gravity Falls plateau was made when that spaceship crashed. And that's the thing he's talking about, about the weird magnet, is, like, he doesn't know if the weird magnet is because the UFO crashed here or if UFO crashed here because of Gravity Falls being a weird magnet. And I love that because it's so easy to go, aliens is the reason why all the things happen. Like, that's why it's weird.
Aliens.
It's just aliens. But in this one, he's like, it could be aliens, but also it could be Gravity Falls. And I love that.
Yeah.
There's a whole spaceship. I wish there was another fucking season of just alien shit, dude. Like, it's so good down there. It's so intriguing, and we don't see any of it past this one episode.
They put skeletons of the alien pilots in some chairs, and in the commentary, Alex Hirsch is like, I still want fans to go in and figure out how all those bones fit together.
Yeah. It's really good.
It's great. We're going to talk about that episode again next week. So, Scoot, you got anything else real fast here at the end?
No, I don't think so. I'm all set.
Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for this week. Like I said, next week we're going to come back. Week 4, we're going to be back for a conversation about our favorite episodes. That's going to probably be a longer episode. And then week 5 is probably going to be a movie length episode, a full cinematic release. We're going to be talking about Weirdmageddon parts 1, 2, and 3.
Doggy.
Full spoilers.
Hell yeah.
So if you haven't, if you somehow made it this far without watching the show,
stop.
Please.
Just watch. Hey. Are you even listening to this podcast? You can only take it in through your ears. Are you even listening? Just watch the show.
You can go order it from Shout Factory right now on Collector's Edition, and it can be at your home if you pay a little extra within the week.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Go get it and watch the show.
If you have Amazon Prime, depending on when this episode goes up, you might be able to get it next day.
Yeah.
Figure it out. Watch the show.
Like, I don't know how you've gotten this far, but you're a warrior, and I applaud you, but go watch the show. So, until next week, Scoot, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at ScottyMace1. It's really the only place that I am active.
All right. Jake, where are you on the internet?
I'm at JJ_Mason, and I have a podcast called, we're going with Spectre. I have a bunch of them, but one is called Spectre, and me and Matt J from the Super Sentai Brothers talk about Bond movies. And we usually have a guest, and Scoot was on our most recent episode, depending on if another one's gone up since then. I don't know.
Presumably another one should have gone up by now, I think.
Probably. We haven't recorded it yet. So there's that. And then Matt's going to be on two of them coming up because one is the one that he wants to be on.
And my payment for that was to watch the other one.
Is to watch the other one. So, yeah. It's
I'm excited about one of them. I'm actually excited about both, but
I'm excited about the one that you're not as excited about. Yep. So that'll be good.
You can find us on the internet at fifthdraw.com, follow us on Twitter at fifthdraw, or email us at social@fifthdraw.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Hoadley. If you enjoyed this episode, why not give us a rating and a review, or maybe tell a friend? Getting the word out helps us immensely. Our music is Arcade Montage by Lee Rosevere and can be found at the Free Music Archive. That's all for this week. We hope you'll join us next week for another episode. And hey, thanks for listening.